To take your Bible, if you will, tonight, and open them to 2 Samuel chapter 2, if you would. And while you're turning there, I might say if you have some time this week where you can, they're having a camp meeting down in Alvarado. It is being held at it's the Old Settlers Reunion Campground, right? Is that what it is, Old Settlers Reunion? And down in Alvarado, and it's easy to find unless you're looking for it. Bad thing is you can see it from 35. You just can't get to it from 35. You got to wind around and everything. I've been lost down there several times looking for it. And then, hey, there it is. So, but if you get a chance, what time they start? Seven. All right. They serve a meal first? 5 o'clock. Okay. All right. I always used to serve the meal after. It was after. All right. So if you go early and they're not serving the meal, stay late and you can eat. I guess that's the way I'd say it. So anyway, they are doing that. And if you get a chance to, if you have maybe an evening, I think they have day services too, don't they? Services during the day. Starts tomorrow evening, I think, right? Starts tomorrow evening, and then it goes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday's the last night, all right? So, but anyhow, don't forget about that. If you got time to go, you know, and you want to, ask Brother Steve Lindsay, who pastors in Alvarado. He has that camp meeting every year. All right, there at 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him." We're going to leave off reading there. I want you to go back to the very first phrase there in verse 1, where the Bible said, "And it came to pass after this." Now, you say, well, after what? Maybe you think, well, after what? Well, think about it. It was after the death of Saul and Jonathan. But for David, it was after years of running and hiding. It was after being anointed king as a teenager by Samuel. But David, in those years, had a lifetime of experiences. And he had gained a lot of wisdom. But it was after this, it was after David had been appointed as the musician to bring comfort and calm to Saul. It was after him becoming a great warrior, leading men into combat and victorious combat. It was after being turned on by a jealous Saul. It was after all of that. I want you to get that picture. It was after all of that. The Bible says David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. It was after all he had been through, after all he had learned, and after all the wisdom that experience could bring to him, he still inquired of the Lord. Now, you know, it was, "What shall I do, and where shall I do it?" I believe there's help for us there, all right? Just simple things. I'm a simple preacher. I can see the simple truths. But it's the simple things we often overlook. And we're all looking for deep, deep, deep. And we miss the simple. Don't want you to miss that simple. And what's a good thing for us to ask? What shall I do? What shall I do? I mean, here we go. David's question was, "Shall I go up?" Now, I want to remind you, David had been in the wilderness for a long time. He had been out in the wilderness. Now, he had thrived there. God had blessed him there. But it sure wasn't the most comfortable place to live. it was a kind of a nomadic lifestyle. They had to be on the move a lot. And he had gone there because, not by choice, he didn't go down there because he just liked the wilderness. He went because he had to save his life. But now all the circumstances had changed. Everything was different, all right? He had the opportunity. I already mentioned to you, he was anointed king by Samuel when David was a teenager. Anointed king, or at least a very young man. But he had been anointed for all those years. He knew that it was God's will for him to be the king over Israel. Knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now he's got the opportunity, if you will, to play, you know, to go ahead, take over the nation of Israel, take his rightful place on the throne. He could have very well said, hey, he could have had plenty of witnesses that could have come along and said, yep, he was anointed king. Samuel anointed him to be the next king, but he didn't do that. That's not what he did. Instead, the Bible says he went to inquire of the Lord. Now, I just want you to simply think of some things tonight. Anytime there is a big change in your life, there is a big possibility for big mistakes. Big mistakes. And when things are in turmoil, maybe when things have the circumstances have completely changed. Sometimes it can be through death. Sometimes it can be through, a job offer. Man, you've got this great job offer and great advancement and possibilities there. Hey, there's a good time to wait a minute, all right? A good time to slow down and just take it. That's time to seek God's help to know what to do. David could have rightfully said, wait a minute, I'm the next king. God anointed me. He could have moved on up into Israel, and he was accepted, all right? He was accepted there. We find in verse 4, the men of Judah came, and they put the crown on his head over the house of Judah. Now, that was the biggest part of Israel. Biggest part of Israel. He could have moved out and said, hey, this is it, could have done it, but he didn't do it. Rather than do that, he inquired of the Lord. Man, it's good for us to look and find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? When there's a time to make a decision, you need to be careful. Need to be careful. We don't get in too big of a hurry to make that decision. I'm one that I maybe sometimes take too long to make the decision. But I want to be careful. And I want to make sure I make the right decision. I want to be sure to do the right thing. I just want to seek God's will and seek what it is. You know, sometimes things look real good. They look good. But it ought to cause us to be careful because we're not to go just on looks. Not to go on that. Anytime that there's a time of confusion in your life, anytime there's a time of indecision, anytime that there's a time, like I say, of great change and things have turned over, you know, hey, what shall I do? What shall I do? Now, the one thing I want to show you, David's very careful. He wasn't presumptuous. Amen. He did not just presume, well, this is what he'll do. You know, I look at that and I think maybe David had the good example of the worst thing you can do when you're presumptuous. And that was Saul. Saul knew what it was to be presumptuous. He did some things. When he thought, well, it's right, I need it, I'm going to just do it. And he made a decision on his own. You remember that time he was there and he's waiting on Samuel? He's waiting on Samuel to come and there was need to offer a sacrifice. He was seeking to do something, wanted to make sure he did it right. So he was waiting and Samuel said, I'll be there. I'll be there in a week or so. And he gave him a time period and Saul waited. Time passed, he didn't show up. And Saul said, well, I'll just have to offer that sacrifice. He was presumptuous. And as soon as it happened, there's Samuel. He showed up. Hey, David looked at that and realized, you know what, being presumptuous and just deciding on your own to do something is not the best thing to do. Not the best thing. It's a whole lot better if you want to be in the perfect will of God that you just wait and give God time to show you, then just decide, I'm going to go ahead on my own, and boy, I sure hope it'll work out. Boy, what a mistake. What a mistake. A terrible thing to do. So David was careful. David was very careful, man. Here it was, the next step in his life was coming. He had to decide, what am I going to do? He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. And it was a very simple question. Lord, shall I go up? Shall I go up? And the Lord said, yep. But I want you to notice he didn't stop there. The next thing he said was, where shall I go up? And the Lord told him, unto Hebron. David was interested in where he needed to be just as much as he was, what do I need to be doing? Where do I need to be? I'm going to be in the will of God. I believe if you're going to be in the will of God, there's a what and there's a where. All right? There's a what and there's a where. You ought to be it. All right? What we do is important. What we do, obviously important. But the location is also important. It's important for us to be in the right place. You say, well, how important could that be? Well, ask Elijah. God sent him up to the brook Cherith, and he said, I'll feed you, I'll take care of you there. God sent the ravens. You know, I guess if they had come to where God sent those ravens and they had that meat, and Elijah hadn't been there, I guess they could have just ate it, and they'd have been the fattest ravens in the land. But fortunately, Elijah knew it's important I be where God wants me to be. And he stayed there, if you're familiar with it, he stayed there till the brook dried up, but then God moved him. Man, he said, don't worry, I got a widow down there, she'll take care of you. You just go down there. Man, it's important we be in the right place. If Elijah hadn't been where God sent him, he'd have starved to death. You know, maybe. Now, I don't have anybody in mind, so don't want you to think, who's he talking about? I don't have anyone in mind, but maybe that's why some people have such a struggle in life. They're not where they need to be. They're not where they need to be. Not only are they maybe not doing what they ought to be doing, but they're not where they ought to be doing it. Years ago, I almost left here. You may be sitting here thinking, Lord, things would have been so much better if you'd left. But I hope not. But I almost left and took a position in another church. Man, this is before I was even married. Long time back there. And I often wondered what would have happened to me. What would have happened to me if I'd have done that? I wouldn't have been married to the wife I'm married to. She'd have had a better life. But I wouldn't have. You know, hey, I wouldn't have been married to that person. Boy, so many things could have happened. It's important that you're where you need to be. Now, Hebron was a special place. Hebron was a special place. Large, it makes sense in, as far as, you know, administering a country and land. It makes sense. Hebron was the largest city in Judah. It was near the center of Judah, which made it a good location for a capital, if you will. It was... Because it was in the center, more to the center, it made it more secure from attacks than a city that was on the edge, you know, the fringe of that country would have been. So it made sense there. You said, that's probably the reason. No, I don't think so. I think there's spiritual reasons for being in Hebron. I want you to think about that just a little bit. It's a place of fellowship. I said, how do you figure that? Well, Abraham built an altar there. Boy, way back in the book of Genesis, Abraham built an altar there into fellowship with his God. Listen, when we come to worship, we're coming to fellowship with God. We're coming to fellowship with him. We're not here just going through some ritual, just trying to get brownie points from God, all right? We're here because we want to meet with him and some fellowship with him. Boy, we're to do that. We're to walk in fellowship with God. We get that by reading your Bible, spending more time in prayer, and being in the house of God. Just to hear from heaven, all right? Just to be challenged a little bit from the Word of God. Just to have that fellowship with other believers and with God himself. Because the Bible said two or three are gathered. In my name, there am I in the midst. What a wonderful thing it is to meet and realize, hey, we can fellowship one another, but we fellowship with the Lord too. And get to feel his presence. Now, it's not some eerie, spooky thing. It's not like your hair on your neck is kind of standing up. My brother doesn't have any hair on his neck to stand up. It's not that, some spooky thing, but it's that fellowship with God. It's a spiritual. They that worship him in spirit and in truth. We gather together. It was Hebron because it was a place of fellowship. Hey, we need that. The where we are is important. We're in a place we can fellowship. Place we can fellowship. Come together. But not only was it a place of fellowship, it was a place of faith. Have your Bible there. Let's go back to the book of Joshua. Go back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14, would you? Joshua chapter 14. Look down, if you will, in verse 12. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Here's the words from Caleb. They were dividing. Just to get you there, they had come in, pretty much conquered the land after leaving Egypt, and now they're dividing the land. And boy, we find in verse 12 these words, "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Look at verse 13. "And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance." Gave him Hebron. Boy, you talk about a place of faith. That's a place. That was a place of faith. Caleb came by faith and said, "I want that area right there." Now let me just take you back down. Remember the report of the spies? Remember the report of the spies? They came back and said, "Hey, it's a land flowing with milk and honey." It is. They had grapes there. Had one bundle of grapes. Took two men to haul that thing in. And there it was, an amazingly fruitful country, fruitful land. But, man, there's giants. We're like grasshoppers. Caleb was one of the two that said, "Hey, fellas, no sweat. We can take it. We can take it." Now, you know that they turned down that opportunity and God let them wander in the wilderness 40 years till that whole crowd died except Caleb and Joshua. But when it came time to divide the land, Caleb didn't say, "Give me some of that easy country down there." Caleb was one said, "Yep, there's giants in the land." And now he stands and said, "Hey, give me that land where the giants are. We'll take them. We'll take them. If so be the Lord's with me, he'll help us drive them out." Hey, there's faith there. He remembered 40 years ago. He remembered 40 years ago. He remembered that report. He remembered the fruitfulness of the land. But he also remembered the giants there. And he remembered, "I told them then we could take them." Said, "It's only right if I take that part of the land and the Lord will help me drive them out of there." Man, he stood up on that faith, all right? He stood up on that faith. Isn't that what we're to do? We're to live by faith in God. We're not necessarily to always choose that area which is seemingly easy. The easy place to labor. There's places that are hard to labor. Well, we take the hard place if necessary. Don't just look for something easy. So I just want to take it easy. I don't ever want any kind of opposition. And if you live that way, you wind up weak. Because sometimes it's the enemies that keep us strong, all right? It's the enemies that keep us on our toes. It's the enemies that keep us alert. We're not just lulled to sleep. Hey, by faith, by faith. Hey, Hebron, place of faith, place of fellowship. I don't see this, thirdly, as a place of forgiveness. Place of forgiveness. Said, "How you figure that, preacher?" Hebron was one of the cities of refuge. One of the cities of refuge. Back there, when the Lord laid things out, he put cities of refuge. Where he said, if you accidentally kill somebody, he said, you flee to that city of refuge and you can find forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's where we're to labor. Now, we're to be in that place of forgiveness. Man, it's wonderful to be forgiven. Wonderful to be forgiven. And I can't help but think here is God there in 2 Samuel spoke to David, and David said, well, whither do I go up? And he said, you go to Hebron. It's a place of faith. It's a place of fellowship. Place of forgiveness. Forgiveness. David had learned to forgive. David had learned to forgive. Now, a lot of the folks in the country hadn't learned to forgive. He didn't immediately become king over that, but, man, he went to that place of forgiveness. Boy, if I just look at this verse and I say, well, what's there for us? You and I ought to desire to live and to abide in a place of fellowship, a place of faith, a place of forgiveness. Hey, that's where we ought to want to live. Lord, let me live right there. Let me live right there. And just abide in that spot. Now, David said, what shall I do? And he said, where shall I do it? Now, we don't find it here, but can I just ask the third question, when? When? When shall I do it? Well, how about now? How about now? Because today's the day we've got. Today's the day we've got. We have a tendency to plan for down the road. I'm going to do that later. There's some things around the house. I sometimes say, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Well, I'm going to do that next week. No, the best thing is to take care of it now. David inquired of the Lord. We see it there in the scriptures. But he didn't wait 6 months to go. I don't believe he waited 6 days. He went right then. Look at verse 2. He inquired of the Lord in verse 1, and David said, okay, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron, so David went. So David went. The very next words are, so he went. He went. I believe that indicates he went immediately. He went immediately. Hey, look, he had already spent more time in the wilderness probably than he wanted to spend. But he went immediately. I'm going to go up. I'm going into that land. That's where God wants me to be. I'm going, and I'm going now. What a wonderful thing. Hey, listen, don't inquire of God if you aren't going to obey what he says. Why do that? I've always marveled at people come talk to me and say, preacher, I need some advice, need some help. And I say, okay. And they'd come and I try to help them, try to give them some advice based on the Word of God, not trusting my great wisdom but what the Bible has to say. And they'd walk out the door and never do a single thing I said. Not a one. Now I've got to where when especially some individuals come and they ask, could you help me? I say, well, I want to ask you one question. They say, what? I said, are you going to do what I say? Because if you aren't, let's save each other's time. There's the door. You say, preacher, you said that? I have. Because I got tired of people talking and asking, and you try to spend that time and show them this is what you do. It'll help you. And all right, go out the door. Never do it. Never do it. Never make an effort to do it. Hey, if you're not going to do what he says, don't inquire. Don't pray and ask God, what do you want me to do if you're not going to do what he says? And by the way, can I say this? Don't bother praying if you're not going to wait till he answers. You're not going to get that answer. Wait till you get the answer. Then why bother praying? Just go ahead and do what you want to do now and get yourself in a mess now. But a lot better to wait on God. A lot better to inquire of him. But I want you to notice one other thing, and I'm done tonight. Would you look at verse 3? Oh, no, excuse me. It's really verse 2. So David went up thither and his two wives also. Then verse 3, and his men that were with him, did David bring up every man with his household. And they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. I just want you to see who went. It was David, his two wives, his men, every man with his household. You say, what are you getting at? They all went. They all went. Hey, I want to say this. The directive from God's always for the whole family. The directive from God's always for the whole family. It's for the family. A good leader takes the family. Takes the family. So where we're going? This is where we're going. I've talked to God. God gave the answer. This is where we're going. I believe David told his wives, pack stuff, we're leaving. I believe he went to his men and said, hey, man, pack up. We're leaving. We got direction from God. Let's go. He didn't go out there and say, do you fellas agree with that? Y'all think that's wise? No. He had already heard from God. Said, let's go. Let's go. It's the right thing to do. He set the pace. He provided the example. He said, y'all all going to get involved. Or to do that. It ought to be that kind of thing. I marvel at people today that say, well, I don't want to make anybody do something. Why not? Especially in a family. In a family, parents say, well, I don't want to make this happen. I just get amazed at people say, I don't want to make my kids go to church, you know. I'm like, you've heard it said, when preacher got at me said, man, I had a problem with drugs. I was drugged to church, you know, and I was drugged here and I was drugged there. Yeah, it didn't hurt you, right? I love it when people tell me, well, I don't go to church now because I was made to go when I was a kid. And I've told them, I said, man, you think you were made to go. But man, we never missed a service. We went. I mean, if it was having something, we were there. We were there. And I look at them and I say, wonder what the difference is. I've never had anybody be able to come up with any reason. And I think a lot of that is because the reason lies in that individual. Hey, I just don't want to do what God wants me to do. I just don't want to do that. Hey, I resented the leader in the family. Man, I didn't. I didn't. Didn't hurt. Hey, look, what are you saying? I'm saying this. You make the decision. You make the decision not only for yourself, but you make the decision for your family. We're all going. We're all going. We're all going to go. David didn't give his wives a choice. He didn't give his men a choice. He said, this is where we are. Let me just say this to wind up tonight. The next step is always to be checked out with God. It's always to be checked out with God. You have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. And make sure you check out that next step with God. Do that. Seek his leadership. Seek his guidance. Seek his guidance. Don't come to me and say, preacher, I believe it's the will of God for me to do this. I prayed. What do you think? You've already decided. You've already decided. You know, you've already made the decision. Ain't no reason to come and say, what do you think? We've already decided. If somebody asked that to me, I said, well, it sounded like to me you've decided what you're going to do. You've already come. When you come, tell somebody, I believe it's the will of God. I've asked God, and I believe it's God's will. What do you think? You're wasting your time. If you want my help, then let me pray with you before you make your decision. Let me pray with you before you make that decision. Don't get in that big hurry, all right? Next step's always to be checked out with God. Seek his leadership. Seek his guidance. Find out, is this what God wants me to do? Don't presume on God. Don't presume on his grace and his mercy. And just think, well, I'll do it and it'll be all right. People have this tendency. You've probably heard somebody say this. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. But you better be careful when you're talking about God. You better be careful of presuming, well, I'll just go ahead and do it and I'll ask him to forgive me. You know, the Lord can forgive things, but you sure do get a beating before it gets, you know, because of your decision. Be careful. Seek him out. Man, it ought to be, Lord, what would you have me to do? And if God's help was good enough for the king, it ought to be good enough for me and you. And if it was good for him to go, you and I ought to go. We ought to come to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You got decisions coming up? Inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Got confusion. You're indecisive. you're not sure, inquire of the Lord. Don't have to be in a great hurry. You don't have to be in a great hurry to get it done. Brother Brian's painting the house that church has over on Mack Road where Brother Trangmar and his family live and Brother Dunbar and his family live. He's painting it. He told me just a while ago, he said, so maybe I can get over in the morning and finish it. I told him, I said, it's okay. There's no real big hurry. I won't even think he's got to go in there and sling paint everywhere, all right? Now, he's not like us. We would sling paint everywhere, but, you know, you don't have to get in a hurry. When it's your life and it's going to determine the future of your life, you make sure you spend plenty of time inquiring of God. Come to Him. Lord, what do you want me to do? Check it out with Him. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help us. Help us see the truth of the Word of God.